You're listening to Auto D, coming at you live.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening to the Auto D Show here on Dave Pratt's Star Worldwide Networks, broadcasting from high above Camelback Road in beautiful Scottsdale, Arizona. I am your host, Otto Daniolo, and this evening my guests are singer-songwriters Alex Hamby and Rachel Fitz of the band Chateau Chateau out of Tucson, Arizona. Due to our schedules, it was necessary for us to pre-record this interview, which we did on Sunday this past weekend, and I'll play for you right after this first song on the Auto D Show from the Fervor Records catalog called Mama's Worry by Courtney Cotter King. Check it out.
Listening to Auto D, coming at you live.
That was Mama's Worry by Courtney Cotter King here on the Auto D Show, which is brought to you by my good friends at Fervor Records and therecordingartist.com, where you can participate in my live recording sessions with all kinds of bands. Layer by layer, you'll see their songs come together in a two-hour webcast recording session. This week, I do have my guests, Chateau Chateau, on Wednesday, and it's going to be a lot of fun. Be sure to check it out at therecordingartist.com. And now, without further delay, here's our interview pre-recorded this weekend. Tonight, my guests on the show are Alex Hamby and Rachel Fitz. And usually, we just have one person on the show, but this is what's been referred to in the press as a power couple heading the band Chateau Chateau out of Tucson. And I'd just like to welcome both of you to the show. How are you doing?
Hi, yeah, thank you so much for having us.
Yeah,
we're doing
great.
I'd ask you how the weather is in Tucson, but I'm afraid I'd get the same answer. It's freaking hot.
It's hot and it's humid now.
Yeah, it is a little humid. And this year, I think it's already the hottest year on record. We've got like 40 days over 110 degrees in Phoenix, which is insane.
Yeah, last week it was all up to 110 every single day. It was miserable.
And the monsoon sucked.
Yeah, we haven't had a lot of that up here yet, a lot of the rain yet, but we did a couple of days ago.
Oh, that's good. I think we haven't had any rain for, what, like a month? It's been a long time.
Yeah, we had maybe one day and it gets cloudy and humid and then that's it. We don't actually get rain.
We had enough wind that there's trees all over town that are busted up when you're driving around. And we actually had about half a dozen shingles blow off the roof of the house. So we had to have that all repaired. So,
oh my God.
And what are you going to do? Thank goodness we get to play music, you know?
Yeah. For real.
Well, listen, you guys in the band Chateau have been getting, I've seen a lot of press, and you guys look like an incredible act to watch live. I haven't caught a live show, but tell me, how did the name of the band come about?
The name of the band, it really, everyone just came up with a few suggestions, and we wrote them on a whiteboard and just narrowed it down until we got to Chateau.
Yeah, took turns erasing random band names off the board, and that's what we got stuck with.
Isn't that always a difficult process?
It's brutal. I mean, like, it's fun to be creative and write songs and be musicians, but coming up with a band name,
it could be hard to please that many people at the same time.
Everybody in the band, yeah, agreeing on one thing.
And then you're afraid that whatever you come up with is gonna, it represents what you do, and you don't want to necessarily misrepresent it. So you almost want a name that doesn't say much, so people can fill in the blanks. But, and I think to me that's what Chateau is. It makes you go, well, what's this? And I like that.
Right. Yeah. No, exactly. I think it's like ambiguous enough, but it's still catchy.
So how long has the band been together?
A little over 2 years now.
Yeah, about 2 years.
And you guys, have you been in bands together before this one?
No, everybody in this band actually met because of the band, more or less. Everyone's been in other bands before, but not with each other.
Yeah. So, like, me and this guy who's still kind of part of the band, Zane, he, like, does music videos and stuff for us now. We'd been in a band together for a while. But, yeah, I think the current lineup as it is all just new guys who met because of Chateau, and we're all like super stoked to be here and be like new friends because of the band.
Besides my brother, because he just joined and he is my brother, and we've been in a band before, but he is new to Chateau.
Well, that's cool. And so it's been about 2 years, and you guys just put a new project out, right?
Yeah, we just released our first full-length album on July 31st.
How exciting was that?
It was so exciting. Definitely like a long time coming, and we've been putting so much work into this album for like the last year and a half. So it's so nice to finally get that out.
That's very, very cool. And was this your first record, Rachel?
I mean, with Chateau, technically, because I joined Chateau like 6 months into them being a band, and they'd already written that key for the most part. I actually met them because of Driving in Circles, because I recorded some vocals on that. And that was the first day that I met them, was when I recorded that. But I did work on this one, like, all the way through, writing and whatnot. So, I mean, I've released stuff before on SoundCloud, like little records here and there, but nothing like this caliber. I think this is the first time we've all done stuff this caliber.
Yeah. Cool. So, you know, you went in and sang on the song, and then they said, we think you should be in the band.
Pretty much, yeah. One of the members that was in the band, he's not around anymore, but he called me, and I had no idea who he was. Apparently, I met him through a friend a few years before, and he followed my music, and I guess they wanted a female vocalist, and so he called me up and was like, do you want to come to our home studio tonight and record? I know that's weird, and I was like, sure, why not? And then they found out that I play instruments, and so Alex was like, yeah, you should probably just join the band.
Aren't you glad you put up to a rando house with a bunch of random dudes?
Yeah, definitely like the sketchiest decision I've ever made, but I'm glad I did it now.
Well, you know, this business is kind of full of decisions that in retrospect look like maybe they weren't the wisest ones. But, you know, musicians are musicians. They hang where musicians hang, and their focus is on their music. And that can take you to a lot of places. In fact, I remember at one point when I was in my 20s, I moved 9 times in 1 year. All I had was my bass guitar and a duffel bag, so it wasn't hard to move, you know.
If the
band wasn't playing, you couldn't afford your rent, you went to the next place, you know.
Yeah, that's insane. But I mean, it's worth it, you know, when you're doing the thing. Like, why not, you know?
Yeah, that's kind of the process. And so let me ask Alex, who writes most of the tunes in the band?
Nowadays it's mostly me and Rachel. The EP was like pretty much all me, but now like Rachel's in the group and it's mostly us, but still like everyone in the band's included, you know, kind of, I think Rachel and I will get 80% of the song down and then have the band in to kind of like finish it up and clean it up and stuff.
Mm-hmm. And it seems to me that the visual image of the band is a big part of what you guys do.
Mm-hmm.
Totally.
I mean, I just saw a photograph. Yeah. We like to do these crazy Instagram posts, and I just saw a photograph of you guys all in tennis outfits.
Yeah.
Now, is that a newer photo or an older photo?
It's kind of old. Two of those guys aren't in the band anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But over the beginning of quarantine, we kind of brought some new people in because they wanted to take a step back. But yeah, that was just one of those ones where it was like, we need new photos. What do we do? And all got up at like 6 a.m., which is early for all of us, and went to a tennis court dressed in matching little outfits and did all those photos. It was fun, though.
It's just fun to like kind of visually be as silly as we are musically, you know, just mm-hmm. trying not ourselves very seriously and be goofy.
Yeah, well, and I think that kind of an image kind of goes with the whole concept of the name. You look at the image and you go, well, I still don't know what you sound like. Because, you know, every sound, I mean, you can tell it a lot of times when you look at a band, you know exactly what they're going to sound like. And when you hear the music, you're right. You can tell. And so I love that ambiguity that you let the listener decide. One of my favorite groups growing up was Elvis Costello, because I thought, first of all, how dare you take a pop icon like Elvis, who's the king, and then put an American comedian last name on him and go, are you saying Elvis was a joke? And I don't care. I'm not invested in Elvis, but it's kind of un-American to say Elvis was a joke. And I'm wondering, where does this go? And so you look at the first album, and the album says, My Aim Is True. Okay. But you're standing there mocking Buddy Holly. And it's like, I don't get. It kept drawing you in farther and farther to listen. And when you listened, you thought either he's nuts or he's brilliant, but he let you choose without telling you, you know? And I just thought that was a wonderful experience.
Totally. I love that. That's like, and yeah, obviously we go for something like that too. And especially with like all of our glitter and crazy makeup and Alex and drag, we really like want this thing of like, all of us in the band are like super introverted people, don't get out much, but we dress up on stage like we're crazy extroverts that want to party. And it kind of follows our music, because our music's like dance, pop, synthy music, but mm-hmm. the lyrics are so self-deprecating and like sad and about like very serious things like abuse and like self-hatred and all of that stuff. So it's all like the kind of contradictory, you know what I mean, mm-hmm. like look, but it's funny and confusing and ambiguous.
Well, often it's great when you want to deliver a serious message to kind of candy coat it so that people can take it, especially in that format. I remember telling somebody, you know, the Beatles had the song Help, which until Deep Purple cut a ballad version of it, I didn't realize how painful the lyrics really were. But the Beatles did it with like jazz hands on, you know, just dancing. And you never felt the pain of the lyric at all hearing the song, you know.
No, that's the stuff we love, that kind of thing. Yeah. It's so good. And it is so smart to do stuff like that because people will listen.
Mm-hmm. You're right. And then when they start to sing along or hear the words, that's when they get the message, you know?
Yeah, they're like, oh, shit, okay.
How weird is it to get someone to dance along to your...
your trauma.
Yeah, that's pretty funny. That's very funny. And that's got to be fun from the stage, too, you know?
Oh, hell yeah. Having people sing those lyrics back to you, it's like kind of crazy, but it's like surreal. It's so fun.
Yeah, you know what that reminds me of too? Sting said he gets so many phone calls or messages, I mean, from people who say, oh, we make love to your song every breath you take. We just think it's a beautiful song. And he goes, you know, it's about a stalker, you know? It's a horrible song. It's like he's going to... Yeah. Watch every move you make, every breath you take, and they're like, we love it.
I know, that's so funny. That's so creepy.
It is creepy, you know, but that's kind of what happens when people just take the happy, pretty melody and they don't really pay attention, except for the one hook line, you know.
Even like Crisis Party, like everyone's like, oh, that's such a sick party song. It's like, I mean, sure, it sounds like it, but if you listen to the lyrics, I mean, not really.
Yeah, that's funny. Well, listen, I wanted to ask you too, Rachel, you're besides being into music, aren't you a tattoo artist?
Yeah, I am a tattoo artist.
And when did you get into that?
I've been doing that since like I was going to graduate high school. Like I've always been super into the arts. I mean, my mom was an art teacher growing up, and my dad was a musician, so, like, I grew up around a super artistic family, and I always really liked tattoos. That wasn't as cool with my family at first. They're used to it now, thankfully. But, yeah, I got into it as soon as I possibly could, and I've been doing it ever since, almost, like, 6 years now.
So were you one of those 13 and 14-year-olds drawing on all of your body with pens all the time?
I didn't do that, but I was always, like, drawing and doodling during class. So, like, my notes at school would always have pictures all over them. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, no, I love tattooing. It's definitely a passion of mine.
And, well, it's an interesting thing to do to somebody. You're painting on their body, and they're going to think of you every day when they look at the work you put on them. You know, it's, like, it's quite an honor to have the opportunity.
Oh, yeah, it changed lives. And I, like, all my clients that, like, have me do memorial tattoos and stuff, especially those, feel, like, crazy, like an honor to do. And that tripped me out when I first started tattooing. I was like, damn, I'm changing their life. Like, I'm altering their body permanently. But now, I mean, I'm confident in what I'm doing, and people trust me. And it is crazy, but it is an honor.
Mm-hmm. I have a tattoo that when the guy was doing it on my shoulder, a young kid walked into the room and told him what he wanted to have done on his back. And he just wanted this, like, tribal design wrapped around his back and his shoulders. And he says, why? And the guy didn't have an answer for him. And so the artist said, well, look, go home and think about it. And when you can tell me why this matters to you, I'll do it. But until then, I'm not going to do that to you. You're just going to want that taken off next year too, you know?
I've definitely done that, especially, like, younger kids, because tattooing became so mainstream even the last, like, 5 years. Uh-huh. You know, everyone has tattoos. And so many people get, like, stupid little designs. I've had kids come in for their first tattoo and want, like, a hand tattoo or a face tattoo. And I'm like, hell no. Like, you're not doing that. I have morals.
It's funny. It's, yeah, but it's, you know, they got to... I think that's neat that you have to measure that and how you feel about what they're asking you to do. That's because it is. It's both an honor and a responsibility. You know, it's interesting.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, and like if someone's heavily tattooed like I am, I'm definitely lenient because I have some stupid tattoos. I feel like you can't have this many tattoos without having some dumb shit on your body.
Right.
But younger kids, I'm definitely more strict with, and like, I won't stop somebody totally unless it is like a face tattoo, but I will, like, you know, put in my 2 cents even if it's not asked for.
Right. Yeah.
It's my job.
It makes sense because when I got my tattoo, which is, it's essentially my whole shoulder and forearm, but it was my first tattoo and I was in my 40s, and the artist who I'd picked, he kept blowing me off, and it took me about a month and a half to get him to understand that I wanted to do it. And he goes, nobody your age gets a tattoo this big as the first tattoo. So he just kept saying, he didn't tell me until, you know, like I say, a couple months. He finally said, I just figured you were going to go away. So I wasn't going to do
it. Oh, my God.
So I was like, no, I'm serious. So it's kind of interesting. But that plays to the responsibility you feel as an artist. I think that's an interesting aspect.
Yeah, totally. And like I said, like, tattooing has recently become mainstream. So even like my mom, like, she didn't get her first tattoo till she was like 45, and now she has a few. Like, you know, there's kids that want to wait until they're older because, like, they don't know what they're gonna do with their lives yet, and that's the smartest thing you could possibly do, you know, like, wait until you're established in your career, like, you know, comfortable,
especially if you're gonna go for the face.
Oh, totally. I think, like, if you're not a tattoo artist, you probably shouldn't get a face tattoo. Maybe if you're, like, a musician or something, but I'm, like, very strict with face tattoos. I have not done one yet because I don't want to ruin someone's life like that.
Well, I always thought for women, too, they wear so many different types of clothes that committing to any color on their body has a real impact in their future wardrobe selections, because they're all picky about their outfits. Guys just put a shirt on, take a shirt off. It's a little different, you know, for they tattoo.
I can't wear tie-dye anymore.
Because your body already is and it conflicts, or what?
Oh, my God. Yeah, like when I first started getting tattooed, I had to wait till I was 18, but I was like, I'm only going to get black tattoos. And then my second tattoo is full color. And now I have like only a handful of black and gray tattoos. Most of them are color. And I do wear mostly black, white, or gray, or like solid colors. But if I wanted to wear like heavy patterns or tie-dye, it clashes with my skin too much. So I do have to pick and choose.
That's kind of funny to me. I think that's pretty, it's an interesting thing that I don't know that, I don't think people think about when they're getting the tattoos so much, but I think it's a worthwhile thought.
Oh, hell yeah. I don't even color my hair anymore.
And you mentioned, Rachel, that you started this when you were young, and I wanted to ask you, are you an Arizona native?
I'm from northern Maine.
Okay.
But I pretty much grew up in Arizona. I just, like, spent a lot of time in Maine. And I still go back. I try to go back once a year. But, yeah, no, I'm technically an Arizona native, but my home is Maine.
How about you, Alex? Where are you originally from?
I was born in Kansas. And spent like the first 10 years of my life there roughly. But like all of my adulthood and memories and stuff are from Tucson. So I'm a Tucson boy.
Mm-hmm. Were you an only child?
No, I actually have three siblings. There's four of us and we're all still here in Tucson and we all get along and hang out. It's pretty great.
So that is cool. What brought your parents to Tucson?
Just my dad's work. Mm-hmm. Just moved job. Yeah.
Yeah. Same with me. My dad was Border Patrol for 35 years.
Wow. Border Patrol in Maine, working the Canadian border?
Well, when he got into Border Patrol, he was a lot younger, and he actually moved to San Diego because my mom wanted to go to college out there. I don't remember which college she went to. So he kind of started his career there and then got stationed in Tucson. So that's We just stuck here because my family all liked it. And he's back in Maine now that he's retired. But yeah, he got stationed in Tucson early on.
I got to do a record at a guy's house in Maine one time, and it was beautiful up there. But I just can't get myself to go back to the north much. It's awful cold.
It is cold, but it's so beautiful.
Yeah.
Like if you're out there in the winter, my dad's a snowbird, so he comes back. To Tucson for the winter, which is so smart. I would totally do that if I was retired because it's beautiful. I love the East Coast.
For me, I grew up in the Midwest and go up to northern Minnesota for Christmas sometimes, which was nuts. Go ice fishing and all that. And now that I've been in Arizona for 30 years and my blood's thin, if I went back for 2 days in the winter, the first day would be like, oh, I remember this. This is great. And the second day I'd be like, I got to get the hell out of here. This is way too cold.
No one in Tucson or Arizona even owns a parka.
Exactly. But anyway, I guess I'm just rambling about the weather and all that stuff. It's kind of irrelevant. Let's get to something a little more relevant, and that would be the impact maybe of what's been going on for almost all musicians I know with this pandemic. All shows were canceled, and you know everything was just kind of flatlined on the calendars, and it's been a very, very strange experience. So do you guys have anything coming up on the calendar for performances? Has it started for you at all yet?
Well, we just did a live stream concert, and that ended up being super awesome, and like a lot of people were into it. Out of state people could watch, which was absolutely insane and so fun. And we talked about doing that again. Obviously, like we've really missed live shows, and as soon as it's safe to do so, we're going back. But until then, like we do want to do more live stream concerts.
Mm-hmm. Well, and speaking of live stream, you guys are going to be our guests on therecordingartist.com on Wednesday this week, which is going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, we're so, so excited to come up there.
It's interesting. I have a lot of the bands go in front of a green screen before we start and say kind of what they think they're about to go through, and then we do it again afterwards. And it's interesting to see what it's like when you're combining those two mindsets, the concept of performance in front of an audience with going into the studio and creating something from scratch, where normally you spend forever because you have forever, especially at a home studio, to make every decision about what you're doing. It's an interesting combination to put those together.
Yeah, I know. I'm like, I don't know totally what to expect. My brother didn't even realize it was a live stream until like 2 days ago. I was like, I told you. But yeah, I think we're all really excited and to like get to record one of our EP songs, especially since the band has changed around since then. Like we've updated all of our old music so much, the way we play it. We're so looking forward to it. And we like doing live stuff.
Yeah. Well, let's have a little pre-production meeting right now. Alex, give me some information that I could use before the session. How many people are in the band now?
So there's five of us in the band.
Okay.
I think the biggest thing is kind of doing like live drum kit. Tom, our drummer, has really been working on kind of getting some like cool live drum dynamic kind of stuff going for whatever we're doing. Other than that, I think we've got, an electric guitar, an electric bass.
Jordan plays three instruments during the song that we're recording on Wednesday. So he does acoustic, electric, and synth.
Cool.
And then I have a synth, and I do the vocals.
Awesome.
Yeah, so it's five of us, but we're going to be trying to cram a bunch of stuff in all at one time.
Well, I know it is cramming it in. It's like I took too much time last week with the band. They nailed the first track, so I thought I had more time with the guitar player, who I was struggling to get him to kind of stay in time. He wanted to rush a bit, and I thought, oh, we have all this time. Let's just get this right. And then next thing we know, it's like, okay, well, an hour's gone, and they wanted to do four keyboard parts and a bunch of vocals. I say, we better get started. You know, it's a real race against the clock.
Yeah, how fun, though. Like, a little bit of pressure to kind of keep you on your toes.
Yeah, and so we get a couple hours to set up, and at that point, we'll kind of discuss who, you know, what we want to do in terms of the first track being two or three people or three or four people, and who we'll do afterwards. And then right in the middle of the whole deal, we're going to have pizza. So we have a pizza sponsor. So when you guys give me your order, we'll have that delivered from Il Bosco, which is really cool. And
hell yeah. I love pizza.
Nothing like free food and free recording. Come on.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say, too, our guys do really well under pressure. So if they feel a little bit of, like, got to be good, then they'll do fantastic. They'll nail it. With pizza, yeah.
Yeah, and what's fun is when you fall down, that still is fun for an audience to watch. Like, oh, my God, look what happened. He couldn't do it. So, you know, either way, it's entertaining, and this is like an odd mix. It's like about the music, but it's more about the personalities and the process. So people are blown away at what you guys go through to try to record a song, and to really pull something off in 2 hours is not your normal approach, but it's impressive to watch.
Hell yeah. No, I'm excited. And
I'm excited to see what it pulls out of us.
Yeah, and when we're all together, we're like a crazy group of people. Like, we always joke that somebody should be secretly filming us because we say some shit. But I think it'll be really entertaining no matter what. And I'm excited to, like, watch it back.
I love that. And you know what? My wife wants to watch the show back right after we're done. She wants to go back and watch it again because it's ready to play again about 5 minutes after, 10 minutes after we stop the stream. It takes about that long to process, and then it'll play again. And I'm like, I don't want to I just did it. I don't want to watch it now.
Yeah. I love doing that, though. I'll, like, sit, and I just watched our live stream again today because I was like, this is sick. I haven't seen it in a minute. And I know, like, we're not getting in full Chateau gear, but I was like, just in casual Chateau gears, because it still puts everyone in that mindset. Mm-hmm. So we're still going to look sick as hell.
Yeah, and watching it back, anytime you watch back your performances, don't you think you take something away with, you know, oh, I like that, or maybe we could do this instead? And being able to watch it's handy.
Absolutely. We had, even leading up to our live stream, we had our camera guy film all of our rehearsals. And so we'd watch it back and things here and there, and like we added like everything, every movement was choreographed, so we'd like add things or change things, and you know, especially sound wise figure out what we needed to do. And it's really helpful to watch yourself perform.
Cool. Well, when do you think you guys will start doing some new music? Now, I realize you just finished this project, but are you planning on when things open up, taking that out on the road, or what are your plans?
As soon as things open up, we'd love to hit the road, maybe do a little West Coast kind of thing. But as of right now, I think yesterday I just sent off a new song to be mixed. We got another one, you know, in the pipes ready to go. So hopefully from here on out, we're going to be releasing a new song about once a month.
Okay. And Alex, do you do do you do a lot of programming as well?
Yeah. Programming, live instruments, just kind of like sitting in the bedroom, getting weird, you know. Nothing's off limits, really.
Yeah.
What's your favorite tool to create on?
Logic Pro is where I live. I used to use a bunch of, like, the Native Instrument stuff, which was super cool, and I loved all of that. I just got a new computer, though, and, lost some of that stuff, so I'm currently trying. Like, learn some of Logic's tools that do that kind of stuff. Mostly just, like, Logic's straight-up, out-of-the-box instruments. Yeah.
And is Rachel the only one that sings in the group?
Alex sings too sometimes.
Yeah, we both sing a little. And we also will pull in other people, you know, friends and
like background vocals and stuff.
Yeah, there's like really no rules. It's kind of just writing the best music we can with people we like and
yeah,
just trying to be creative and weird and have fun.
Yeah, me and Alex try to like share the lead vocalist job. Mm-hmm. Neither of us are like really used to it. I was a lead vocalist in one of my old projects, but I wasn't the biggest fan of it because it like makes me really nervous. Mm-hmm. I'm getting better now, but we definitely like try to split that. And I think having that dynamic, obviously like male female vocalist, sounds really good too. So we definitely mm-hmm. kind of fit 50 that role.
Very cool. Yeah. Well, I think I'm going to go ahead and spin one of your tunes right about here, too. So let's just mention that. Did you mention earlier Driving in Circles?
Yeah.
So that's already available out in the real world, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's from our old EP, and that's the one that we're going to be re-recording on Wednesday with you.
All right. So I'd like to spin that on this show, if you're okay with that.
Yeah, totally.
Great. So we'll do that next here on the Otto D Show. This is Driving in Circles with Chateau. Check it out.
It's just so apropos. I'll steal the beer, you grab the dope. I'm sure you know it's Saturday. Tomorrow, Mom, will make you pray. Now we're gonna scream and shout. Make up shit to repent about. Can't crash the car or turn around. Nothing's gonna stop us now, cause we're driving in circles. Still driving in circles. Let's all sit in the silence. Let's all get on true violence. Pouring up and cut the lights. We'll hit the blunt and pass it right. Turn it up. Out all night, burn it down and start a fight. Alex said it'd be just fine. You got yours and I'll get mine. Not this shit on for God's sake. Now we gotta leave this place, cause we're driving in circles. Still driving in circles. Let's all sit in the silence. Let's all get on true final.
Listening to Otto D coming at you live.
Does anybody in the band have like weird jobs or odd jobs while they're in the band, or are all of you guys strictly full-time musicians who aren't doing anything else?
We all have different jobs. Day jobs, I guess. I mean, like, obviously, I'm a tattoo artist. Jordan's a computer scientist, and he does coding and programming for a company, mm-hmm. which is crazy. Alex he has a PhD. He's a scientist.
Awesome.
Which is crazy. Yeah, you could talk about that.
Yeah, let's hear it. We're already talking about it, so dive in. Yeah, where'd you get your PhD?
Got my PhD at the U of A in cell biology.
Okay.
And I got a bachelor's in physics. So I'm like a biophysicist. I look at how cells like stick together and make forces and crawl around and stuff. And then it has like kind of implications in cancer, because cancer cells kind of strangely produce forces to make tumors and can crawl around your body and do weird stuff like that. So yeah, I think about the physics of cells and where the physics of cells can go wrong and cause disease.
Well, it sounds like that's given you a unique point of view or perspective during this whole pandemic.
Oh yeah. I mean, it's interesting to kind of see biology become so important to everybody, you know, and kind mm-hmm. of have everybody being like little armchair biologists with this virus. It's weird times. But yeah.
And has your education, do you think that's had an impact in your lyric writing or style?
Maybe so. I think probably the biggest impact is I've like been taught to think really systematically.
Mm-hmm.
And so on music, it's like a very systematic thing where, you know, certain things have certain purposes in a mix or in a song or whatever. And then I like to surround myself with creative people who can kind of pull me out of this
mm-hmm.
like science way of thinking about music, you know?
Yeah, that's why like we write so well together, because we have really like opposite strengths, like complementary strengths,
mm-hmm.
like totally the opposite. So like it makes it way easier to write songs successfully when we're doing it together, because we think so differently about what we're doing.
That's fascinating. Yeah, I think I agree, Alex, that you could easily find yourself in a spot where you need the other people to pull you out of your process in order to find that new thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And Rachel's great at doing that.
That's very cool. And do you usually start just by creating a music track and then someone else writes a melody and lyric, or do you kind of bring it all together initially?
That depends. I mean, lately, especially, I mean, Alex, like before, he would usually write some music first, and then I'd come in and do lyrics, and we'd think about a story together. And I'm definitely a lyric person, and he's, you know, a music person. But lately, I mean, the last thing we just started writing, I was just singing something for fun around the house, and he was like, "That's so sick," and we wrote a song around it.
Cool.
Yeah.
I think it's usually like I'll get a track and a melody and like the way I want a vocal to sound, you know, like vowels and shit like that,
mm-hmm.
and maybe a word here or there that I think is important, and then Rachel will help kind of flesh out how to fit those vowels into words that actually mean something.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a great point. I've heard a few writers, and Sting, again, is one that comes to mind, who mentions that they tend to put certain vowels on certain notes in their melodies, and they're not concerned about the words at that point. They're just concerned about the sound of what's being said.
Yeah, that's definitely how I think about it.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And that gives a lyricist a lot of responsibility. Say what you want, but put a ooh here and an ah here.
I think it's not too bad, though, especially because, like, I mean, I've even taken Alex's lyrics and, like, they sound good, but they make no sense,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Typically.
And so I'll even ask him, like, if it's, like, an old song we're reworking or whatever, I'll, like, ask him straight up, like, what's the storyline here? You know, like, what's verse 1 to verse 3? Like, where do you want to go? And then I'll just sit at the computer and write, like, sentences and then just make them smaller and kind of, like, put the vowels where he wants them and make it make sense.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, make a meaning, because I attach so much to lyrics, like, it's crazy. So, yeah, that's definitely, like, where I come in, I guess.
All right. Well, listen, I guess, you know, we've kind of covered the bases, and I'm looking forward to seeing you guys on Wednesday. I think it's just going to be an absolute blast, and hopefully we can also capture some of that footage for our Amazon Prime episodes, because that'll be a lot of fun, too.
Hell yeah. We're so dead.
And I want to thank you guys for coming on the Auto D Show for the podcast, too. Appreciate having this opportunity to chat with you.
Yeah, thank you so much for having us. It was so fun.
All right, guys. Well, we'll see you on Wednesday.
We'll see you on Wednesday. Have a good one.
All right. Take care. That was Alex Hamby and Rachel Fitz from the band Chateau out of Tucson, Arizona, here on the Auto D Show. Be sure to check them out while they record a song from scratch live online tomorrow night at therecordingartist.com. See you there.